It is so good to come to God's Word. Let me also thank our media ministry. There are people watching online right now. I know some of our folks, they are in care of their parents, and so they'll go to their parents' house to check in on them, care for them, watch a church service, and they choose ours to come in live. We don't edit it. It is what it is. And you're just as live here watching it as we are right here in the room. Thank you for watching it online. Some of our folks are traveling, and wherever they go, if they can get Wi-Fi, they can join in. But there's nothing like, and they'll tell you this when you talk to them, there's nothing like being in the house of the Lord together with Christians. It is a wonderful ministry. But so many of our people say, boy, I wish I could still come, but I'm so grateful for this media broadcast. So thank all the people that make that happen with all the technology. And thank you, church, for investing and bringing our church family closer through technology. Today, I want us to go. We're going to start at the last paragraph of chapter 5 and go into the great story of the battle at Jericho. Joshua fit to battle at Jericho. I've entitled the message, A Spiritual Truth for Every Christian, Walls Fall. Now, dear Christian, you know that you were saved by grace through faith, not through works, through faith. Now that you're in Christ, and in this story of Joshua, proverbially, you are in the promised land. You've crossed over the flooded river Jordan, and now you are in Christ. You are in the promised land. How then shall you live? Is it all up to you? Now do you have to gut out your Christianity? Do you have to now work to earn the gift that God gave you? How do you experience the Christian life? Now, we go to the Old Testament to get moving, inspiring examples of life lived by faith. That's what Paul was telling them when he talked to the Corinthian church. He gave them an Old Testament example and said, these things happened to them, he was talking about the people of God in the Old Testament, as examples for us, and they were written for our instruction on whom the ends of the ages have come. We're in these last days. Christ has come, the fulfillment of God's great promise to the earth. So the Old Testament has a value. They set examples of how to deal with trials, tribulations by faith. So how do you conquer your Jericho? Rick Warren was famous for saying you're either going into a trial, in the midst of a trial, or you've just come out of a trial. Our faith is improved, is strengthened through trials, through tests. That's true in the physical realm, and it's true in the spiritual realm. You can't wish it away. You can't vacation away from it. You and I, at some point in our journey, must face different Jerichos. How do you conquer them? Now, let's look at the story of Jericho. You know the story. The people have crossed over the Jordan into the promised land, and their very first test of faith, now that they are in the promised land, their faith is put to the test, and it's Jericho. Jericho was in the central part of Canaan, what is Israel, just north of the Dead Sea, just inside the western border, that's modern-day Jordan, and it was a strategic place. If you could conquer the central part of the nation, then you would divide their armies north and south, and then you could attack each one. You wouldn't have to face the whole nation. You faced half the nation at a time. So they started God led them to attack. And right there on the outpost was a prominent city, not a very large city. Archaeology has discovered the city of Jericho. For centuries, atheists and doubters said, this is just a fanciful story, until they started digging and they found the city of Jericho right where the Bible says it was. Now, the deal is, it's a fortified city. And it's a fortress. It's impregnable, at least at first glance. Now, look at the Israelites that are now inside. They're in the promised land. There's no going back. The Jordan River is on the other side of them. They can't cross it again. They're there. Now you got to move forward. How are you going to do it? When the first thing you face is this huge city, what kind of armament did they have? They had spears, knives, swords, bows and arrows. Good for man-to-man combat, horrible against a fortress. This is a depiction of ancient Jericho. Someone said, you know, urban planning means you got to expand. 40 years ago, it might have been a single-walled city, but now it's a double-walled city. It just got bigger. And that's what they faced. A battle you must face, but how are you going to do it? Well, the New Testament tells us the story of Jericho in one sentence. Oh, don't get discouraged. I've got a whole sermon to explain it. But in one verse, Hebrews in the New Testament looks back to Jericho and says, that's a good example of faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being marched around by the Israelites for 7 days. How does this faith live itself out when I face my personal Jericho? This ominous problem that seems insurmountable when I look at my powers, my gifts, my efforts. How do you overcome your Jericho? Well, let's look at the story. Everybody take a deep breath and read along in this great drama. Now, before we get to Jericho, we encounter the commander of the Lord's army. Verse 13 of chapter 5, that paragraph begins, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Now, that's pretty impressive. And Joshua approached him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Friend or foe? Neither, he replied. I have now come as commander of the Lord's army. I'm not for you. I'm not for them. I'm for God. You see, this was the wrong question. He asked the wrong question. I'm not going to dally on this. The question was not, Whose side God is on? The question is, whose side are you on? Commander of the Lord's army, then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground in homage and asked, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did that. Now, Jericho was strongly fortified because of the Israelites, no one leaving or entering. The Lord said to Joshua, look, I have handed Jericho, its king and its best soldiers, over to you. In verse 3 and 4, the Lord gives him instructions. In verse 6, we find that Joshua now repeats in detail, more detail, of what the Lord told him to do. So Joshua, the son of Nun, summoned first the priest. And he said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horns in front of the Ark of the Lord. So you got that? The Ark of the Lord in front of them, 7 priests, and they're all carrying their trumpets. And this is what a Israeli trumpet looks like, is a ram's horn. It's called a shofar in Hebrew, and it is literal. This is one from Israel. It's a very small one. And even this small thing can make a horrifically loud noise. Would you like to hear it? No, I'm not going to do it. My grandsons, they love to play with it. And then he said, in verse 7, he said now to the troops, the second group, move forward, march around the city, and have the armed men go ahead of the ark of the Lord. So you got it? Seven priests, seven ram's horns, the ark of the covenant, and also there's troops that are leading in front. Now, let's continue. Verse 8, after Joshua had spoken to the troops, seven priests carrying seven ram's horns before the Lord, moved forward, blew the ram's horn, the ark of the Lord's covenant following them. While the ram's horns were blowing, can you imagine this? Just continual blowing of these huge, large ram's horns, these trumpets. The armed men went in front of the priest who blew the ram's horn, and note this detail, and the rear guard went behind the ark. So now we know more detail. There's a front guard and a rear guard, and right in the middle is the Ark of the Covenant representing the presence of God and these priests blowing continually these loud trumpets. Verse 10, but Joshua commanded the troops, and he told them this very important point. Do not shout, let your voice be heard. Don't let one word come out of your mouth until the time I say shout, then you are to shout. So the Ark of the Lord was carried around the city, circling it once. And they returned to the camp and spent the night there. Verse 12, Joshua got up early the next morning. The priest took the Ark of the Lord, and the seven priests carrying the seven ram's horn marched in front of the Ark of the Lord. While the ram's horns were blowing, the armed men went in front of them, and the rear guard went behind them. And on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And they did this for 6 days in a row. Early on the seventh day, things are about to change. They started at dawn and marched around the city seven times in the same way. That was the only day they marched around the city seven times. After the seventh time, the priest blew the ram's horns, and Joshua said to the troops, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So fast forward to verse 20. So the troops shouted, and the ram's horns sounded. When they heard the blast of the trumpets, the troops gave a great shout, and the wall came a-tumbling down. The troops advanced into the city, each man straight ahead, and they captured the city. What God promised, God delivered. And what a strange way, from a human perspective, to capture Jericho. How are you going to overcome your trials in faith? First of all, we see we must first engage in personal worship of God. Before you walk out the door each morning, you need to have had an intentional, mind-focused moment of worship with God. If it's nothing but this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. God, help me, help me, help me. I got to go. Don't you walk out that door, because I'm going to tell you something. Probably before you hit Natchez Drive, you're going to face a Jericho. You better be ready. You better get your mind right. And look what he says here. He met the commander of the Lord's army. It's a whole study in of itself. There were times in the Old Testament, three or four times, Christ Jesus, the pre-incarnate deity, makes himself known, and it's monumental moments in the history of Israel, and we see a foretaste, and here Christ comes, we believe, as commander of the Lord's armies, and he's given his people a direct instruction of how to face Jericho, Notice this. Jesus marks his territory. Jericho thought they were in charge. Even Joshua looks at that and says, they're more fortified than they were the first time I saw that city. When I was out here spying 40 years ago, it wasn't this big. Jesus comes and reminds Joshua, before you hear my instructions, I want you to understand who is the real commander. And he says, remove your sandals. You are on my ground. This is my property. I'm in charge of this. And you need to acknowledge it. And you need to worship that I'm God. And I'm going to show my power, but I'm going to ask you to trust me, and it begins in worship. And I encourage you to come to this truth in your life. God wants to make you a worshiper before he makes you a warrior. Get your heart right. You said this is an impossible situation, whatever it may be. And I know some of you right now can just say, I'm in an impossible situation. I can't seem to get it right. I want to encourage you right now, fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Now, the second thing, encircle the problem with the presence of God. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's just take the example that we have here in this story. Notice what happened. While the ram's horns were blowing and the armed men went in front of the priests who were blowing the ram's horn and the rear guard went behind, but Joshua commanded them, do not let your voice be heard until I tell you. You and I want to rush in and try to solve our own problems, try to solve everybody else's problems. We've not worshiped, nor have we acknowledged God is in charge of this problem. And I want to put it all the way around. I want to cover that situation. I want to cover that problem. I want to cover that part of this problem. I want to cover this part of the problem. You may have all kind of different things, and every time you walk around it, you think, here's another problem. I thought there'd be a gate I could enter. There'd be an easy way. And it just seems that they're more fortified than they were before, and your problem is getting bigger and bigger. I'm telling you, encircle the whole thing and say, Jesus, 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 you are a commander, Lord God, over this problem. Literally, they marched the Ark of the Covenant, which was the symbol of the presence of God before the people. Now notice what he instructed them to do for 6 days, one day at a time. He said, priest, I want you to just keep blowing these trumpets. Why? Because a trumpet announced in the Bible, in the Old Testament and New Testament. Even in Revelation, we've got trumpets, don't we? The coming of the presence of the Lord. The coming of the presence of the Lord. It drew attention. It drew attention. It drew attention from the people of God. Now, all 600,000 to 1 million Israelites are not walking around the city. 40,000 troops, some up front, some behind, priests and these special rams, trumpet blowing priests, they're the ones marching around. On the outside, looking in, are the people of God watching this drama, wondering what's going to happen. And that blowing of that trumpet was a signal to God's people. No voice was heard. He told the soldiers specifically, not one word. Don't give a rally cry. Don't try to show how mighty you think you are. I don't even want you to express your machoism. Be quiet. The only thing I want the people of God to hear And the people in pagan Jericho, I want them to hear my trumpet that I am coming. Now, the trumpet sound to the believer, to the people of God, ought to be an encouragement to you. It ought to be an encouragement to you. You're not alone. God is aware. Get ready. He's coming to do his final work in this situation. Get ready. Now, you have worshiped. You have encircled this. You have mentally said, I'm putting everything at God's feet. I'm putting his presence over my ability to solve it. I'm elevating God's presence, not my ingenuity. This is something far beyond what I can solve. Normally, Jerichos deal with people. You ever notice that? I can't fix a carburetor, but I can find somebody who can. I'm sorry, that's an old illustration. They don't even have carburetors on cars anymore. Except for the ones Bart Allen owns. He's got carburetors. The older, the better for him. But the rest of us don't have that. But I can find somebody to fix the direct injection. But people, on the other hand, the heart, the mind, that's God's territory. You know what I found out? I can mess things up far better than I can fix them if I try to do it on my own, if I've not prayed about it. I just want to encourage you. You need to have a mental and heart awareness that God's word is true, and he says, I've not forsaken you. I will not abandon you. I am Emmanuel. I am God with you. My work is continuing. You just be found faithful, and you just surround whatever Jericho you're facing with the truth. I am. I am. I'm present. I'm not leaving. I am. But it's also a warning to Jericho. It's a warning to Jericho. Dear Christian, don't be lily-livered and spineless when it comes to your faith. Straighten up and take pride. Humble pride, yes. God-fearing pride, yes. But don't ever be ashamed to say you are a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't care if the whole world looks like it's bigger. Guess what? It is, but it's not bigger than your God. Stand up. And in doing so, you send a warning, an important warning to the lost world, to the rebellious one, the one who opposes you with hate, the one who's working as if they were on the side of the devil himself. And they may be. There was a man in the late 80s, early 90s, who took over Panama. His name was Manuel Noriega. He was nothing but a punk and a drug dealer. And he was sending drugs into the United States. And so we indicted him and said, you have broken our laws here. Your work has been brought here, and we're coming to get you. Well, Manuel heard the U.S. Army was coming to get him. So he did something kind of smart. He went into a foreign embassy for hiding. So now we got a political problem. Foreign embassies are sovereign territory, and it was one of our friends. In fact, if you know your history, it was the Vatican Embassy. Even more of a complication. It was nothing but a little building. We could obviously go into any door we want to and get him, but we couldn't do it politically. So guess what they did? They surrounded the embassy with this drug dealer, criminal, inside with Humvees equipped with loudspeakers. These huge loudspeakers, we're talking about Metallica size loudspeakers. I'll talk to y'all later about who that is, but anyway. Each one with its own generator, and they started blasting 24 hours a day American rock music. As loud, literally surrounded that embassy. And in 3 days, he walked out and said, no more. No mas, no mas. It sends a warning. It sends a warning. The presence of Almighty God. You and I need to also learn, thirdly, to endure with the patience of God. It's perseverance. Yes, we worship. That begins. Don't even begin your day without acknowledging the worthiness with thanksgiving in your heart and faith, the power and love and grace and mercy of Jesus in your life and the need for others to know that. And Lord, use me today to be an instrument of your peace. Don't walk out that door without meeting with God first. And then encircle your problem with the presence of God. Don't focus on the ominous Jericho. Focus on the omnipotent Jehovah. And then learn to endure your problem with the patience of God. Oh, it'll happen. God's promises are true. His way, His will shall be done, and it's a good will, and you will know it, and you will recognize it, and you'll see it in time, my friend. But you have to learn to endure. Verse 11, notice they walked around the city, encircled it once, and then they returned to camp and stopped, spent the night there. Can you imagine the people of God looking at this, thinking, well, what are y'all doing? What's happened? I don't know. They get up the next morning, the people of God look out there, there goes their army, there goes the priests, the sound of the trumpets are blowing, and they see it and say, oh, today's the day, today's the day. They do it again. Nothing happens. Day three, day four, day five, day six. How do you think those people felt? Lord, we've been walking in circles for 40 years. And your plan is for us to walk in circles and nothing happened. I'm tired of walking in circles. I'm tired of this journey. Friend, you'll get there if you hadn't got there. From time to time, God asks you, walk in circle one more day. Just keep trusting me. Blow the trumpet. Focus on the presence of God. Worship me. This is my ground. Trust me, trust me, trust me. And the people of Israel are an example for us. God instructed the priest, God instructed the troops, but the people had to watch by faith. They had to learn to endure. You say, how long? God knows. It's not the days or how long. The question is not that. The question is, will you be faithful today? Will you trust Him today? Living by faith is a daily obedience. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Well, what's tomorrow's verse? From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. God has His plan. He's at work. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. The question is, will you be willing to endure? You say, well, I can't take it anymore. You need to know this truth that the people of Israel exemplify for us. They were in this same place 40 years earlier. And Jericho wasn't as big 40 years earlier. Now the problem has only grown. Why? Because they delayed their obedience and trust 40 years. An entire generation of faithless people had to pass away before a new generation was even given the chance, with the same question, the same test: will you trust me to get you across this body of water into the promised land? Will you trust God? Do it His way. This Bible is filled with practical instructions. And guess what? They go counter to most every 20-second reel that you watched on Facebook or on Instagram or whatever you've been watching. TikTok, Snapchat, Hooga Booga. I don't know what the latest thing is. I don't know. There must be 500 of them. Let me tell you something. God's way is not your way, it's not my way, it's His way. He's calling you to endure. So what are you dealing with? Are you just put your focus on Him, not the problem? And I'll say this, if you'll just be faithful to the task of following Christ and loving Him and worshiping Him, rather than this flip-flopping back and forth, not sure, I'm telling you, you will be able to address it in God's first plan. Now, He'll keep working on you, but I just believe first obedience is better than delayed obedience. Now, the last thing I want to share with you is this, is to engage the problem with the power of God. Now, what do I mean by this? After the seventh time on the seventh day, Joshua says to the troops, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Now, they have a choice right there. They've been waiting. They've been looking for 13 times now around this city. They have saw every wall, every soldier. They know how difficult the task is. They cannot deny it. And they've been thinking for 7 days now, God, is this the plan? Trumpets and a shout? Is this all you got for us? And that wrestling with the faith, will I do it God's way? Should we talk among ourselves that there's another way? Will I trust God? For 40 years, what did God hear from His people? Whining, complaining, griping. He had heard them shout doubt. And He didn't need to hear trumpets. He wanted to hear a shout. He wanted to hear the voice of His people now not shout doubt, but shout faith. Faith. Faith that God would destroy their Jericho, this evil, pagan people that mocked God, that disobeyed God, that had heard the gospel of the truth. 40 years earlier, they had heard about Yahweh God. They had heard about this one true living God, the good news that their idols were false and God was real, the God of Jehovah, the God of Israel, and they still chose their idols. And God wanted to hear His people. Will you obey me? He wants to hear a different shout. Today, my friend, I ask you to look in your own life as a Christian. We go and fast forward to the New Testament, looking back, Jericho, the people of God, the walls come tumbling down, which they did, is an example. Christ has already won the victory if you're saved today. Now, if you're not saved today, you're not defeating the Jericho of your sin. It stands and it'll defeat you. And it's time for you to get humble with God and say, Jesus, 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 save me. I've tried. I cannot do this. And you need to take your stand for Christ. If he's calling you, you take your stand for Christ. Place your faith. Turn from your old way. Turn to Christ. Trust Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection as your victory. And follow him. You say, I don't know how to do that. By faith. How do you live by? How do you live the Christian life? The same way you got saved. By faith. You trust God and follow him. It's by faith. He is your victory. He defeats the Jericho. The battle belongs to the Lord. He said, I have given you the city. God said, I have given you the city. This is my holy ground. And the same thing with your sin. He has defeated your sin and he has given you the victory. It's a gift. You receive it by faith. I'm telling you today, no more fretting. Worship. No more anxiety. Be thankful. No more doubting. Shout. But shout with faith. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come before you today asking, Lord, that you do a work that only you can do in our life. We can't do it, but you can. You are good. You are whole. You are true. Some people need to trust you for salvation. They've never been saved. Others have trusted you, but they have yet to take their stand for Christ to say, Jesus is my victory. He's my Lord and Savior, and I want to take a stand for him today. I want to do what those ladies, I want to be a believer that expresses it through baptism. I want to be a part of the body of Christ, not just as an attender, but as a member. My family, more than just associated, I want to work, I want to serve, I want to grow, I want to learn, I want to worship here, and I want to serve you, Lord. Others, Father, today might just be a private struggle in their own heart. Today, help them acknowledge the battle belongs to you. The battle is yours. You call us to worship you. You call us to trust you. You call us simply to obey, to follow you day by day. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement it brings every believer. Thank you for the wake-up call it brings to those who need to be saved. Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Would you come as the Lord leads you today?